Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Whether you're joining us in person or online, and I want to say a special shout out to there's one of our online people that is with us every Sunday that's having surgery tomorrow. I won't say who it is, but hi. But whether you're joining us in person or online, we're really glad you're here. And we want to offer a special welcome if you're new with us. We want you to know that we are glad you're here and we have a gift for you. You can stop at the welcome desk in the coffee hour space and receive something that you will enjoy having. That's all I'm going to say. You have to get it and find out. I want to let you know that if you happen to be in this room right now, and if you are in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th grade, this morning, for the very first time, we're starting a new Sunday school class specifically for you. Tim Nyansenga and James Comer are leading it, and they are in the library, which is if you go through the double doors and then into the coffee hour room and turn left through the glass wall, hopefully sliding the door open first, you will find them. So you can leave now, or you could leave during the opening hymn, or you can stay here. But we want you to know this is special for you. All right, so I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Vince Progar and Suzanne Everett. And we have our handbell choir with us, the Echoes of Praise, under the direction of Susan Kimball. Pastor John's going to be bringing a joyful and renewing message to us today. So we'd like you to please complete the connection cards that are in your bulletin. And also, if there is something on your heart, something that you would like us to be praying with you, take one of those prayer cards from the pew in front of you, fill it out, put both the connection card and the prayer card in the offering plate, and we will pray for you. Now I'd like to invite you to stand if you're able. We're going to sing "O Worship the King," number 73.
Thank you. Good morning. I would invite you to join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we thank you for quietly holding us up through the storms of life. Give us strength to place our trust in you. Help us to face each day knowing that you are our rock and our salvation. Hold us up and help us find joy even in the darkest moments of our lives. In your holy name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading today is from Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 10. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was here yesterday with a whole bunch of folks at the church putting together a service for a gentleman by the name of Robert Scranton, and we celebrated his life. His family was here. It was beautiful, but there was this moment in the midst of all of it, in the midst of everything that was going on, where I looked out and there were people carrying in these tables for the handbell choir that would perform today. There were people who were cleaning up after a beautiful luncheon was served. There were folks who had been here to help support the family by serving coffee. There were folks who had come and played music in the midst of the service. And there was this moment where all of this activity was going on in the church, and I had this moment of deep inner peace and gratitude for how active and involved this church is at supporting a family, some of whom we've never met this individual or their family. There were just folks here to try to make this family's life a little bit easier. And so I just want to say to everyone who helped and assisted and was here to support in some way, shape, or form or another, thank you. Thank you for your ministry, for your gifts. There's just this moment where the world just slowed down, and I took in this deep breath, and it was just a breath of gratitude and thanks for all of the people who make things happen in this space. Thank you for your hard work and for making the chairs get set up, 150 of them, and then get knocked down. We switch out rectangular tables for round tables, and life is good. So thank you for your work. As we gather here this morning, we're continuing a sermon series about being renewed by the Psalms. So our spiritual ancestors turned to these parts of the scriptures to renew their body, mind, and spirit, to be lifted up, to be filled with the power of God. And so these words that sometimes read like poetry are a source of our inspiration and strength in hard times. So when we're going through something, when we're challenged, when we've experienced grief or loss or turbulence or upheaval, one of the things that you can do is open up the scriptures to the Psalms. And in this particular text, it's one of the places that you can go to find a source of inspiration and strength. There are multiple times in the scriptures that Jesus turns to the Psalms for a source of his own inspiration and strength, and he quotes them from time to time in the midst of his preaching and teaching. We know that some of these manifested themselves into other songs that people sung. In fact, the Psalms show up in some of the hymns that we sing. We quote the Psalms as a way of sort of rooting ourselves in the movement of God. It's some of the most powerful language in the scriptures. And throughout the course of my life, there have been times that the Psalms have really spoken to me, where they've given me a sort of pep in my step, or sometimes when I've looked for answers in the scriptures, I'm like, I'm just going to drop the Bible on the table. And frankly, if you do this, like sometimes it just opens up to Psalms and you're like, thanks, we'll just see where this takes me, because Psalms, they're a source of inspiration and strength. And when I was younger, I was in the midst of discernment, and some of you have heard parts of this story before, but I was trying to decide what to do with my life, and I wasn't sure what to do with my life as I was finishing up school at Albion College, and I had two paths to take. One was to become an attorney, which I was interested in, and still have some interest in law and legal matters, and the other route was to go to seminary, and I couldn't decide what to do, and I was decided at that point. Faith Fowler, the pastor of Cass Community United Methodist Church in Detroit, called me and said, would you be interested in coming to do an internship in the city of Detroit? And I said, well, tell me about it. And she says, I can't pay you anything, but I can give you a place to live in the city. And I'm like, sign me up. That sounds great, you know? Because I love Faith. I respected her. I thought highly of her and her work. And so I went to go work with Faith in the city of Detroit. And I was discerning whether or not I felt called to go one way or another. And I was sitting inside this room where all that we did was feed pieces of paper into a shredder. It sounds like literally the most boring thing that a person could do in their entire life. It was monotonous. And this is before, by the way, if you've been down to Cass, this is before they had the huge commercial industrial shredder that can shred like a million pieces of paper a minute and puts them into these massive like hay bales that weigh 2,000 pounds of paper. This was back in the day when we did this by hand, three sheets at a time, and every staple had to be removed. And so we'd be sitting there like, take the staple out, and then feed it in. And the company in this particular room was a bunch of adults who had a variety of different special needs. And I have to tell you, that was actually like the most beautiful part of the entire experience, was sitting in the room with these men and women who were telling their stories. And most of these guys and these women would only work maybe 3 hours a week, maybe 6 hours a week. And at that time, they were collecting probably something that was close to a minimum wage salary or income off of those hours that they worked. And as I was talking with them, they kept sharing these stories of what they were going to do with their paycheck. And I was so inspired. I mean, some of them would be like, I can't wait to go to the corner store and get my Mountain Dew. But you would have thought that that Mountain Dew was like the saving, you know, elixir for somebody's life. They were like, I can't wait to get that Mountain Dew. I can't wait to drink it. I'm going to savor it. I'm going to drink it over the next 3 days. And the next person was over, like, whatever the video game was at the time. I'm probably going to get this wrong, but he's like, I can't wait to go out and get my new Nintendo. I'm going to use my paycheck to get a small TV and a Nintendo. When I get paid on Friday, I can't wait to get that Nintendo. And then the next person was like, I'm going to buy a house, and I'm not going to be renting anymore. I'm going to purchase a house. And as I heard these folks share their different experiences, tears started coming down my eye, because I thought about what a difference this simple, monotonous task was making in their life. I have to admit, there were times that the hours went by slowly and I was frustrated. I was like, gosh, what am I doing here? And faith would give us outrageous challenges, because every once in a while, like entire law offices would bring all of their old legal documents in and dump them. And so faith would say things like, I'd like to have all this paper shredded by Friday. And you think 3 sheets an hour, and there's, you know, in some cases, like tens of thousands of documents. And so my friend and I were over there in the middle of the night feeding these blasted sheets of paper, and just like, zzz, zzz, and like all night long. But the Tigers were playing, and that made it okay. And that's why you call it an internship, right? Or maybe it was hazing. I'm not sure what it was, but it was in the midst of one of those quiet nights, sitting inside the paper shredder room, listening to the voice of Tigers baseball, Dan Dickerson, over the radio, that I knew that this is exactly what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. Now, some of you might look at that circumstance and say, Pastor John, it sounds like you were stuck in the muck and the mire that the psalmist David was describing in his writing in the Psalms. Maybe you think, man, that sounds like purgatory, or perhaps like the end of somebody's life, or the waiting room eventually. I don't know exactly how to describe it. It was monotonous, it was tedious, it was repeated work over and over again. And yet, in the midst of that, God was working, because God was placing this new song in my heart as I was hearing these adults with special needs talk about their, you know, unique love for the work that they were doing. And as I was hearing about how it was renewing their spirit and lifting them up, that they were going to get a paycheck and what they were going to do with the paycheck, all I could continuously think in my mind was, man, I want to play for a team that transforms people's lives and gives them hope, even in the midst of this monotonous and boring task. The joy that I saw in other people, I was like, I want to do that too. Maybe you feel like you're stuck. The psalmist writes that there are seasons in our life where our footing doesn't feel secure, where we're walking, but it doesn't feel like we're on solid ground. We keep trying, we keep walking, we keep putting one foot in the other, but in front of the other, but we just don't feel like we're getting anywhere, and it's frustrating. You're just like, when am I going to break free from this monotony and this tediousness? How am I going to go through this moment? I feel stuck. The psalmist continues that God was there in the midst of feeling stuck, and God was listening to David's cry, and he set David's feet upon a rock, making his steps secure, and put a new song in his mouth, and set his feet to walking. And it was out of that muck and desolate pit that, by putting one foot in front of another, David made his way out. At the same time that I was working at Cass Community Social Services, as graduation approached, I also felt this incredibly strange call George, you might understand and appreciate this, and there are other cyclists here this morning, but I felt this strange call to bike around the state of Michigan, the Lower Peninsula, and so I got on my bike and I started pedaling, and I just kept going. I left my parents' driveway shortly after graduation and started staying at friends' houses as I made my way the 1,000 miles around the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. Admittedly, I was kind of lost at that particular time. I didn't fully know the places that I was going, but I found myself just putting one foot in front of the other as I pedaled my bicycle, and that love for cycling has not left me. Earlier this year, I set a goal for myself of riding 3,650 miles this year, and I didn't know why I was doing that. I keep going to the gym, my favorite place, Planet Fitness, in the evening time after the kids go to bed, and I keep riding, and I keep riding. And then the other night, I found out why I was doing it. A good friend of mine in Liberia, last year, we were supporting Water for Life, this organization that helps drill wells for people in Liberia. The executive director of that organization, Jefferson Knight, was involved in a terrible car accident that destroyed his vehicle. He used that vehicle to bike across the country, to drive across the country to provide water and to check on these wells. And he was seriously injured in this car accident. And I recognized that Jefferson uses this vehicle that the engine lit on fire and the engine block totally melted to check on wells for people, to provide clean and safe drinking water for people across the country. And because that vehicle was totally destroyed, it's going to disrupt his ability to do that. Because his body was injured in the midst of that car accident, it's going to disrupt his ability to do that. And I realized that 3,650 miles is roughly the distance from Miami, Florida, to the edge, not all the way through Alaska, because Alaska's ginormous, but to the edge of Alaska, and I found myself going, that's why I'm riding this year. I'm riding for Jefferson. I'm riding to raise awareness about this struggle for water all around the world, because at Planet Fitness, when I'm done with my 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 miles, I walk to the back of the gym, and I put my face into the drinking fountain, and I drink, and it's easy, no problem. But people in Liberia have to walk miles sometimes for water, and it matters to me, and I'm grieving for my friend Jefferson, and I pray that he's okay. I pray that his life gets better, but I recognize that this year, as I continue to knock down miles, it's going to be to support my friend who's got medical bills and a car to replace. Every once in a while, you don't have any idea why you're doing something. You feel a call from God to just keep putting one foot in front of another. Maybe you feel like you're stuck and you have no idea where you're going or where you're going to end up. But all of a sudden, God places a song in your heart and you find yourself doing something with purpose and passion and energy and drive. And if you're wondering where joy comes from, it comes from those moments of clarity and clairvoyance where you go, this isn't about me. It's about something so much bigger than me. It's about participating in the flow of God's activity in the world. And those are the moments that your life becomes fulfilled and absolutely filled with joy. If you feel like you're stuck, or disconnected, or floating, or feeling purposeless, or without direction, or understanding of where you're headed in life, I really want to talk to you. I'd love to make an appointment with you so that I can listen to why you feel like your feet are not on a firm foundation. I would love to help you find the song that God is writing into your heart for you to be able to sing with joy, knowing that what you're doing is part of God's purpose for you in this moment. I can't tell you that I know exactly what that is for all of you. Maybe it's biking. We want more cyclists, right, George? We want more people on bikes. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's running. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's being a person who sets up and takes down chairs. Maybe it's teching, helping us live stream for folks. Maybe it's finding a way of delivering teddy bears and flowers from the sanctuary to people who are homebound. Maybe it's helping us out by going out into the world to sew quilts and bless people with these incredible works of art that take place every Monday. I hope you find your song. As you continue to move through your life, I've been reading throughout the month of February, as it's Black History Month, the poetry of the poet Maya Angelou. I don't know if you know this story about her, but when she was young, she had a traumatic experience in her life. And Maya wasn't able to speak for at least 5 years. The tragedy was so absolutely horrific in her life that she didn't talk to anybody for 5 years, totally silent. Her poetry is rich and brilliant. And throughout the course of those 5 years, there was a teacher that said, "All right, Maya, if you're not going to talk ever in our classroom, if you're not going to offer your voice to anybody, I'm just going to read to you." And so her teacher sat down with her that particular year and read her poetry. A lot of the words that Maya heard while she wasn't talking stuck with her. She became a lover of literature. She continued to read despite the fact that she wasn't speaking. What she had learned is, after this trauma had happened to her, this individual who inflicted the trauma on her ended up going to jail. He served a short sentence and then was released. She was only 7 years old at the time. And upon his release, somebody took his life from her family. And so what Maya learned is that when she spoke up and used her words at that particular time, it meant somebody was going to die. She became quiet for 5 years, but eventually God gave her a song. Those of you that know her work know that she wrote some of the most prolific poems that you and I have ever heard, so I'm going to read one for you today. I have to admit, I have to skip over a part, or my file in the bishop's office might get a little bit bigger with people providing feedback, but that will be my encouragement for you to go out and read her work. This is her poem, "Still I Rise." "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room? Just like moons and like suns, with certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high, still, I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't take it awful hard, 'cause I'll laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my backyard. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise." I have to skip the next paragraph, but you should read it online. "Out of the huts of history's shame I rise, up from the past that's rooted in pain I rise. I'm like a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into the daybreak that's wondrously clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream and the hope of a slave. I rise, I rise, I rise." Beautiful words from an amazing poet. I commend you her work. If you're looking for a song to sing or for your feet to feel like they're planted on firm foundation, David's poetry, Maya's poetry may be the words that you need to set one foot in front of the other, to get yourself out of the muck and the stuckness that sometimes I find myself feeling in February. When Maya talked about rising, I have this image. She was born in Southern California and grew up, and she was not far from where the United Nations first got off the ground. And when she was born at that particular time, she recognized that she was not allowed to go and even be a part of the conversations that were taking place at the United Nations. Well, fast forward 50 years, they reached out to her after she spoke at the inauguration of a United States president, and the United Nations reached out to Maya Angelou and said, "Would you mind sharing your poetry in front of all of the world's dignitaries? Would you mind sharing your words?" And she said, "Huh, the world can change, can it?" Maybe you're feeling stuck. I feel like I've been preaching for an hour. It's all right. The Catholics will beat us to lunch today. Maybe you're feeling stuck with the news stories of the world. Perhaps you're feeling anxious about where everything is going. I hope that you'll turn to the Psalms. I hope that you'll turn to the great poets, to the great lyricists, to the great forms of art that appeal to our better angels, that encourage us to get one foot in front of the other. I encourage you to find a goal that sets your feet into actions. I pray that you'll find a purpose that gives you joy. At the end of the day, when you find yourself aligning yourself with whatever God is calling you to do in the world, you might be limitless. An unstoppable force. I hope you find a new song. I hope you find a purpose. And I hope that you're able to put one foot in front of the other to do the thing that God is calling you to do. I hope you rise. Amen.
Thank you. how am I supposed to follow that? Prayer is one of the vehicles that we have for renewal. So let us continue now to seek renewal for the day and the week ahead through prayer together. I invite you to adjust your posture consistent with your prayer practice. Open your hearts, minds, and bodies to communion with God. Let's pray. God of joy and God of healing, as we rest in you this morning, we relinquish the misery that bogs us down. We release from the wintry corners of our hearts that which keeps us from warmly loving our neighbors and responding with compassion to the hurts of the suffering. We want to trust in you, and yet sometimes we hold on to our stubborn ways that keep us from feeling the solid rock you put beneath our feet. Open us to your wisdom, heal us with your love, guide us with your vision of a world where everyone belongs and everyone is secure as a child of God. Forgive us our shallow ways and renew in us the courage to be your hands and feet in a hurting world. We cry out for your mercy and seek your peace and strength. Move us to action as we pray for those in need, shelter for those suffering in the cold, food for those facing hunger, healing for those recovering from illness, injury, surgery, and broken relationships. We pray for wholeness for those experiencing emotional or physical distress, comfort and community for those in mourning. Help us, Lord, to recognize the angels and signs among us, reminding us we are not alone, that you love us, and that you empower us to carry your light and love. We pray today specifically for those in our lives in need of healing and restoration. We offer our prayers and blessings on those receiving prayer quilts for Chuck, Emmett, and Rich. May the warmth of the quilts help their physical needs. May the knots we tie this morning represent just a portion of the prayers and love we share. And may the prayers we say be multiplied through your grace, peace, and healing presence. In this moment of silence, we lift up our personal prayers and set down our burdens. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray too for our church, its leaders and volunteers. We lift up our communities, our state, country, and world. Show us how to be your servants, to be part of the healing that repairs our brokenness. Now we join our voices together with the powerful words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward, and while they're doing that, I want to share with you some things that are going on in the life of our church, of our congregation, that you can be a part of. We just learned this past week that on Wednesday, February 25th, there is going to be an ecumenical prayer service for justice in Washington, D.C., And our United Methodist Church is going to be part of that. In fact, there will be a walk then after the service to the Capitol, and it's starting at Capitol Hill United Methodist Church and walking 0.6 miles to the Capitol, all as prayers go up for justice. And we've been asked by our conference to not only to send some people there, so if you can go to Washington, D.C. on February 25th, I hope there'll be some of us going. But we are also going to simultaneously be doing something here in our own sanctuary so that we can be supporting those who are there in prayer. So be thinking about that, thinking about whether you can be a part of it. Also want to let you know that there's a new member class that is coming March 1st and March 8th. We would love to have you make it official whenever you'd like to, but whether you do or not, we still love you, and we still think that you're part of us. Believe it or not, Vacation Bible School dates have been set, and you need to put them on your calendar so you don't go on vacation when you don't mean to, right? So it's July 21st through 24th for kids ages 3 through 5th grade. And then coming on Wednesday, February 18th, is our Ash Wednesday service here in this sanctuary, a beautiful time of reflection as we begin the 6 weeks of Lent, a time when we prepare our hearts to remember Good Friday and to remember the resurrection. During Lent, we're going to be reading a book called The Difficult Words of Jesus, and you can go online and find lots. Well, you can see it up there if you have really good eyes. But you can see there are a lot of opportunities that you can be part of that, or you can just get a book in the library there for a donation of $11, if you suggest a donation of $11, and you could read it on your own if you can't make any of those. And then finally... we're once again going to be doing our community Easter egg hunt, and we need to fill, guess how many eggs? 2,000. So if you can help, we need wrapped candy and good-sized plastic eggs by March 1st. And now I would like to introduce Pam Comer and Ann Sparling, who have another opportunity to get involved in the life of our church and to make a difference in our world.
I'm Pam Comer, and I and Ann Sparling are co-chairs of the Economic Justice Project of the Church and Society.
Last Wednesday, our committee helped facilitate our 5th countywide Rosa Parks Transit Equity Day breakfast at Cleary University. Every year it gets a little bigger and better. Our committee started the celebration of transportation 5 years ago. I think there were just a handful of people at the Let's Bus Garage. Mm-hmm. And now we had 70 or 80 people at our breakfast this week. Our church has been a sponsor of the countywide breakfast for the past 3 years.
The goal of our committee has been to advocate for expanding public transportation in Livingston County. We have no bike lanes in the county, if you noticed.
We keep working.
I'm not sure it's safe, but anyway. We have planned the countywide breakfast with the Transportation Coalition to increase awareness of the need for improved transportation in the county. There are some pictures on the screen of the event that we had this past week. As Ann said, we had about 80 community leaders, including Suzanne and Pastor John and our committee. We had a community conversation helped along by Trinity Health about the current status of public transportation in our county, the needs that are not yet addressed, and the challenges we face in expanding transportation equity. So, we would like to ask you a few questions pertaining to transportation. In 2025, how many rides were given on the Let's buses, do you think? 8,000? around 160,000. 160,000 rides were given this past year. Also, how many riders wanted a ride but were unable to get a ride on a Let's bus? 500? 3,500. You're getting the idea. 3,500.
The majority of Let's riders or Let's rides are for what purpose, do you think? For errands, for work? What do you think? Doctor's appointment. I hear a lot of different things. Yes, about 70,000 rides were given for the purpose of getting to work. But there are many rides given to those who are unable to drive due to health reasons, those who cannot afford a vehicle in our county, and the elderly and those with disabilities.
Okay, so about the funding. Currently, federal funds provide about 50% of the Let's budget. Around 28 to 30% comes from the state, and the rest is funded by local entities such as, well, Trinity Health, riders' fees, the grant from Trinity Health, and Let's is working in 2026 with a decreased budget. When the needs for transportation are increasing, their budget has gone down from about 35% from the state to less than 30%.
Our county commissioners have turned down an increase in Let's funding the last 2 years. Our population in the county is increasing and aging, and the need for more funding for transportation is increasing also. The state provides a local match to communities for transportation, so if our local government increases its funding, so will the state. That's how it works.
I just looked it up this morning. Our state or our county budget is around $123 million, and $65,000 goes to Let's. So that kind of gives you an idea. So we continue to advocate for transportation equity in Livingston County. In this past year, many of you signed letters to the commissioners, and we hope to have another letter soon in the next few months when we are getting closer to the budget for 2027. And we would like you to consider signing that letter. We take those letters to the commissioners' meetings. So we want to thank you for your attention to this issue. Want to give glory to God for people involved in the work of advocacy in this church and in our community. And I would just like to say, whenever we're out and about, Ann and I, or Mary and Ben, we're out in the community going to meetings, I just feel pride to say, because when they ask, what group are you from? We're from the Brighton United Methodist Church. And it's well known that we are out there advocating for transportation. So thank you for your support.
And we'd love your help at the commissioner meetings. When we can let you know when the budget is up, but the more that we can support the Let's transportation, the better. So
thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we bring our offerings to the ministry of your church today. Bless them and use them to reach others who may not yet know the joy of life with you. Let these offerings be a testament of our faith in your saving grace. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, I told you you weren't going to be able to beat the Catholics to brunch. I was wrong. We finished a couple minutes ahead of schedule, but I just want to close with these last couple of things. I want to share with you, thank you, because some of you brought in socks for folks in our community who are experiencing the challenge of staying warm in the midst of the season. Our congregation collected over 2,000 pairs of socks, which were distributed. I want to say a big thanks to folks at the Howell Library and a variety of scouting groups that help us not only match but exceed our goal. My understanding from Tara Ruiz, who chaired that particular mission outreach in our community, is that all but about 10 pairs of kids' socks were distributed to folks in our community at 242 Church last Thursday. I'm thankful for all of the gifts that you shared. In addition to that, a couple of weeks ago, we had a Haiti lunch or a Haiti dinner. Thank you to everyone who cooked and prepared for that. But the church collected about $1,600 towards our $350 goal to help raise money for Haiti. So thank you for meeting and exceeding that. As I was driving home from the gym on Friday night, I got a phone call from a woman who's been sleeping out in the snow in our community. Our strategy as a county right now for housing insecure folks is to encourage them to get a night stay provided for them by St. Vincent de Paul or you know, a collection of folks from Love, Inc. And she said to me, my boyfriend and I have been trying to find a spot to live. I lost my job a month ago because my employer no longer had requirements for my services. I was working at a gas station, was fine paying rent, but I've lost my house. We've lost our car. It was repossessed by the bank, and I've been sleeping out in the snowbank. Can you help us? Just like Pam said, it gives me such a great joy to say, hello, my name's Reverend John Reynolds. How, you know, they call and ask sometimes in the middle of the night for shelter from the cold. I'm thankful that our church is in a position to be able to help people with a week of being able to stay in a hotel, to get out of these elements. And as you walk outside the church today after fellowship time, and that cold 5 or 7 degree wind hits you, I want you to think about folks in our community who are sleeping under overpasses and in tents and with their head in a snowbank. And ask yourself, how can I play a role in making this world look a little bit more like heaven? That's what Methodists do. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord and finding a joyous song to keep allowing us to put one foot in front of another. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.